Hello, and this is Reel 7.
Right, perfect. And we've been walking along the, and it was very, again, it was all hills and dales, except the old little cottage here and there. And we got to this, we decided to go to Rossaniga. And we got to this little village, and it was daylight. And some of these old dears were standing outside. It was a lovely day, summer's day. And they were standing outside their cottages with their old-fashioned black skirts on and their little bonnets and their shawls and their hands twisted round, you know, proper old-worldy. And they'd be natural, and they'd see us coming along. And they'd look at you and lower their head. You wouldn't speak, you'd say, good evening or good afternoon. And they would turn their head away. Yes, it's true. And we got to this little tiny, we could smell fish and chips. So we got to this little tiny fish shop and we went down steps to it. Tiny little place. Well, there was, who's for fish and chips then? So we all said, we are, you know. Corpse, lovely. And we got downstairs and there was three or four other people in front of us. Then us, all eight of us. Nobody else behind us. Then you'd see the odd one. Or two of Welsh old dears coming in, or the old man coming in, and behind the counter they say, hello, Di, you know, to one another and to the old dears. And, you know, you turn around and say hello, and they still wouldn't answer you. No. And one did actually, and he got a dirty look from another, from an old lady. And so, more or less, he was going to be in the doghouse, you could guarantee it. And we're standing there waiting for her to be served. Oh, I've got your order, Mrs. Dart, Mrs. Soames, Mrs. Evans. I've got your order, Mrs. Jones. And what was it, cod and chips? And was it a haddock and chips? Yes, it was four portions, please. So, they've been served and we're still standing there. So one of the soldiers said, proper cockney was, excuse me, mate, but it's about time you served us, isn't it? We've been here over an hour. We've got to get back to camp. And we would like you to serve us now, please, because if you don't, I'm coming down there and I'm going to serve my colleagues. So, but these are orders. We don't care a damn about orders. You've got lots of fish there and you can serve us now. Please. So, what do you want? What do you want? Yeah. Very, very. And we sold these fish and chips and we said, can we have salt and vinegar? No, they wouldn't do it. So we all had to open our own parcels of fish and chips. It really was cooked beautiful. I'll grant them that. It was delicious. Local fish as well. And we started passing these old dears, another lot of old dears, in their cottages, and they're very, very, very much like the Purbeck stone of Dorset. That kind of buildings, you know, old worldy, that they used to have in those days, and days beyond. And as we passed them, eating our fish and chips out of paper, they were spitting on the ground. Actually spitting on the ground for us. And oh, charming, he said, you know, very charming. Oh, God, fancy them doing that. And one man said, what have you done? One soldier said, what have you done, lady? We're fighting for your life. What are you doing that to us? And not one of them would speak. So we got to this little tiny pub, only a few yards further on, and we... We sat outside, there's some little seats out there. We sat out there against the wall, finishing our fish and chips, and went in to ask them if we could, you know, dispose of the paper and also have a drink. So us four girls went up to the bar with the men. So because we were with the men up at the bar, they wouldn't serve us. And it came to the conclusion, one of the men said, aren't you going to service? They said, in Welsh, so all speaking in Welsh, you know, bore da, nos ta, diachenbel, all Welsh language, yes. And, which is goodbye, good morning, good afternoon, or whatever. And he said, why aren't you serving us? Are you going to give us a treatment? And we just got outside. And he just said something, and someone said something else in Welsh. And then this man came up and he said, we will not serve you while the women are staying at the bar. They've got to go into the parlour room. So us four girls had to go into a tiny little room, and the door was shut under the door. And all we had was brown ale. That's all they served in this little place. So we all had a little glass of brown ale. Yes. And then we were so disgusted, we had to march all the way back. Mind you, we were warned. You know, the sergeant of the camp that was static there, if you understand what I mean. He was the one that was teaching us and all that. He said, don't be surprised if you get ignored. That's all I'm saying to you. Don't be rude to them. Don't be rude. Just pass them by. So they knew that, yeah. And that's just exactly how they treated us. They hated the English. Literally hated the English. Yeah, it's amazing. You'll hear it now and again. You will hear it now and again. They still don't like the English for some reason.
So, did you, you know, your other sort of social life, was it the fact in the war that more women went into pubs?
Oh, yes, perhaps? When we was in Birmingham, I had a dancing partner, actually, in the camp, and his name was Alec Patterson, and me being my patient, they called us Pat. His was Pat and I was Pat, and he was a terrific dancer. Well, my father taught us all dancing. And after the First World War, he had his own dance band, you know, with a firm where he worked for. And he taught us all dancing as we grew older. And he allowed us to go to dances. But he always used to take us in the car and bring us back. There was no hanky panks.
Would you have gone into a pub on your own?
No, I've always been very shy of that. Even now, I won't walk in a pub on my own.
Would you have gone with your friends, though, your pals?
Yes, I'd have gone with them, and that's the only time I did go. It was a pub and a dance place. The dance was upstairs, and there was a small bar up there, the dance hall, and the pub, and it was called The Swan at Yardley. And as far as I know, it's still there.
Also, do you think things changed regarding sort of sexual behaviour in the war? Your groups of girls, did any get pregnant, for instance?
Oh, yes, yes. Some of the girls, they got... they were, especially with the Americans in Birmingham, quite a few of them got pregnant there. Not just the army, Rains, WAFs, and civilians. And we used to see quite a lot while it was up there. If ever you went into the Swan or any other one, which I never used to go, funny enough, into a lot of pubs, unless it was where there was dancing. And if you you'd see the Americans, they used to brag and throw their money about. So that our men never got the chance of going with a girl much, because the Americans used to flaunt their money and their chatter to especially the Birmingham civilian girls. And I'm not going to dispute, it was all services, you know, just the odd one now and again, and they'd become pregnant. And then they'd have to leave the service, and then have their baby, and if they wanted to go back, then they went back. And many of them did that. They used to have proper nursery places for the girls if their parents didn't want nothing to do with them, you know, discarded them in those days, and then they'd be looked after, those children, until the mothers came out. And if they met and married another chap, then they would have to tell the chap that they'd got a little child, and more often than not, they took the child over. But it was the Americans that were the disaster, really. Their pregnancies used to really go to town. But they'd get engaged to the girls and the girls would let them get engaged, and they'd have all the money they could off the girls, and the Americans used to get lots of coupons of some kind, where we didn't, the forces, unless we came home on leave, then you got food coupons, and they'd, you know, the mothers of these American soldiers, because some were so young, and the mothers would give them St. Christopher, and that's where St. Christopher's first came in, or cross and chain, or watch, or signet ring, or cigarette case. And they wouldn't be tin, they'd be gold. And you could guarantee you found one of the girls, which when you went to the dances, you'd see these girls opening up a gold cigarette case, taking a cigarette out, and she'd have a signet ring, or she'd have a real engagement ring, and, you know, all that kind of thing. You saw a lot of that. Mm-hmm. You did. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying, you know, that anyone was pure and not pure, you know, because you just didn't know. You just saw the other person here and there. And a lot of them got married. Then after they got married, the men went back and didn't bother to send for their wives. Some did. They were allowed to travel back with them if the men dearly loved their wives. But when they got over there, a lot of the American families didn't like the young girls. So they felt very, very unhappy and would come back. You know, this is after the war.
You were saying earlier about the exercise for D-Day. Were you on duty on D-Day itself? Did you see the planes go over?
Yes, you saw them go over.
What was that like?
Oh, tremendous. The sky was black. Literally black. Just like the Germans when they come over and they were bombing London. The sky was black then, you know. Oh, yes. There was every type of aircraft. You've got the gliders being trailed by Bravington's, Harry, what's the name of that plane? Not Hereford's. It was a four. There, every time I go to Holland with the Royal British Legion, it's for the dispatch people, Air Force Dispatch, that's what it's called. Parachute regiment. I've even got badges that they were given to me by them and all that kind of thing. And they were the gliders that were going over. There was Dakotas fetching, you know, and they're being bombed when they got there, they're being brought down all around Holland, and the parachute regiment, especially France, they're brought down right the way through. Germany, you know, the actual. Yes.
Is it really what you were seeing, you know, that interested in?
Every kind. There was every kind of glider and plane that was towing the gliders. Mm-hmm. Hundreds and hundreds of them.
I suppose also at this time the V1s and V2s were coming over.
Yes.
Were you spotting for those as well?
Yes. But we only saw them in the distance. I think only once ever. But Southeast, we brought one of them down. We did get one of them, but that was about the only one. But all the others, you could hear them stop. You could hear them, even this area of Southeast and places like that, you hear them cut out. And then you hear the boom, yes, of it. And you think, my God, somebody's got it. Yes, and there was lots of them. They were coming over their drones eventually, one after the other up here. But it wasn't on our where we were, it was coming directly some other route.
When did you leave the force? How long after the end of the war were you demobbed?
No, I came out because I got married.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
When were you married, May?
Well, I was married in 1945. Beginning in 1945.
What sort of a wedding could you have in the war?
The wedding I had, is that a picture there? No. I've got a picture here somewhere. I had a suit to get married in.
And were you able to have a reception?
Uniform, but I didn't. I got married in the States.
Were you able to have a reception, you know?
My mother, yes, my mother and father. Because mum being in the catering business, all the members of the Victory Club, all that team, with food and stuff. And yes, I had a nice little wedding.
At the Victory Club?
At the Victory Club. In Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah, Thursday. And that was lovely. In July.
Did you miss, did you have to leave your job when you were married? You know.
Oh, at the Army?
Yes. You had to leave, yes, did you?
Yes. Mm.
Did that worry you?
I became pregnant, you see, so I had to come out.
Oh, I see, yes. I see. So would that have normally been the case, that once you were married, you weren't allowed in?
Oh, you could be married, but if you was married for somebody in your own camp.
Yes.
The man was posted.
So they didn't like you together?
Yes, yes, you were posted.
But if you were having a baby, then you had to leave?
Then you came home on leave, and you was having a baby, then you ultimately had to come home.
Yes. When you think back on your war work, did you find it? It seems from what you've been saying that one gets the feeling you were very satisfied with what you did. Was it satisfactory?
It was very satisfying. I would never have missed it for the whole world. It was my life, and I'd only, in one sense, wish I'd never got married. No disrespects. I would have loved to have carried on to the end of the war. I really would have done, to the very, very end. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. I had a beautiful baby that was very fortunate. Rosemary, she's my oldest daughter. Yes.
Yes. Do you think it made a difference to your life, you know, having had that experience of, you know, that responsibility in the world?
Oh, yes. It made you grown up, see the other side of life. You learnt a lot. I was a poor scholar at school. I learnt more when I left school than I ever did when I was at school. Yes, absolutely. And it was wonderful. You know, I classed myself exactly the same as a male soldier. I really did. And I couldn't get enough of it, if you like. Every raid was an experience, a wonderful experience. It's wicked to say it. You know, but it was a wonderful experience. And the bombing, I didn't like. I felt very, very sad, especially going up to London. The bombing of all around the docks of Bermondsey, the East End, they really got it bad. And then it went on from London, it went on to Liverpool. We was at Liverpool one time, New Brighton, Liverpool, for 3 weeks. We went to relieve a gun team. We've done that for around a year, near enough 18 months. Our particular battery, out of the regiment, went and relieved all the other batteries of our regiment so they could go to firing practice. So we was in Liverpool for 3 weeks. We was in Coventry for 4 weeks. All the areas in Birmingham. We went to Kent place in Dover, we went to Dover, and then we went down to Brighton, we went up to New Brighton again, to Liverpool, and then back down, we came down to Birmingham, stayed there at Birmingham, and then we got posted for good down at South East.
That's where you ended up, was it?
Yes.
Was the work much the same in all these places?
Oh, yes.
Busy all the time,
oh,
were you?
Busy and bowstring. Yes. You know, you were a soldier. You were fighting for your country. And there was no if, no buts. You had to do as you was told.
And the routine was such that you could just go into any battery, as it were, and take over.
Yes, you took over, whatever. Yes, just the same. And if you was relieving that battery, they'd already moved on within an hour, and we'd move in. And so we'd take over automatically on command post, then Anison huts first to drop all our gear, then on parade and up to the command post, and then, you know, carried on straight away so that we got used to that command post and the plotting room and the cross. So everyone went with you. you know, the process and the telephony. Wherever your battery went, they were in your battery, so they went with you.
You were in the same battery right through, were
yes,
you?
Yes,
yes. Yes, you were 1.5, this
battery was.
Mm.
The 461 and then 460. And then I used to relieve 459, 458.
And this would have been with the 145
yes, regiment.
Regiment. Yeah. 145
it's
regiment.
All those different ones, yeah.
Yes, all the different batteries. Yes. Do you remember V Day?
Oh, I do remember V Day.
Oh, come on, tell me about your V Day.
I was here then. You remember the last one? You remember the last one that we've had? The one then?
In 1945.
My mother done all our place up. With flat, because they were very royalty, my family. And they found flags, a great big flag that came flowing in the breeze, and all the house and the garden was done up with fairy lights. And in those days, the fairy lights were a candle in a glass, a different colour glass. And Dad had tied a string and it went all around the garden. And there was parties everywhere, and there was the Victory Club. It was endless, it really was lovely. Absolutely, yes, it was marvellous.
I believe you still have links, don't you? Because you're in the British Legion, is
yes,
that right?
Yes.
Yes. Is that important for you, you know,
oh, yes.
to...
Yes, it is.
Yes.
You know, as I said, I should have been born a boy and not a girl.
Yes, but I've seen your photographs. You seem to be the only woman in a crowd of men in the parade. Is that right?
That's the role that I was in with the women. That one there.
Mm-hmm.
That was in with the men.
So you're a standard bearer,
are
you?
I'm a standard bearer. Mm. But first of all, I just went in. I went into the Royal British Legion because my parents was in it. And I came out. And my first husband, before he died. That was down in Benfleet, a place called Benfleet, so a little tiny hut affair. And then when you start having a family, you know, you sort of give way to that. And then as they grew older, much older, I decided we moved up to Scotland, actually, to Dundee. And we joined up there, my husband and I. But unfortunately, it was only up there two to three years. And I'd had Rosemary here, and then I had John, and then I had Maria. Maria, they were born in Scotland. Who's the other one? June. I had four by my first marriage. Mm. And unfortunately, during the last year we was up there, I didn't know, but it was very, very poorly. We came down for a holiday to stay with my sister, actually. She'd got a big house here. And it really was bad, so we suggested he went to the doctors. And he didn't want to go back to Scotland. So I had to get in touch with the neighbours, ask them to sell, you know, most of the stuff. And what I needed was they send it down mm-hmm. to me, bedding and things like that. And we was offered half a bungalow down Brent Cheese Hill.
Yeah.
I went there. Mm. And, of course, John died, so I was left with the five children. So I rejoined the Royal British Legion from then, and I've never looked back.
Yes.
And
what is it that is important about the British Legion for you, May?
Because it was army, because they've done a lot of good work for ex-service people. Ex-service people's mothers, husbands, and wives, if you like. If the men, you know, was in the Legion, they used to do a lot of work, and they still do tremendous work. They're building bungalows and things like that for very poorly Legion people that was actually got to be ex-service or ex-service parents, okay? And then I got transferred from Scotland when I came, and I joined at Hadley, just up the road there. And within 2 years of joining up there, by then my children were married, more or less, there was only Tina at home. And I joined there, and I got my husband to join, my next husband, Bill. and he joined, and he never used to go to any meetings or anything, he just joined. He was a very part man, reserved man, and so I just gave a week to that, and then it got to every fortnight, and I was just an ordinary Legion member. Then the standard bearer there was giving up, so they asked if I would like to take over. It was only volunteers in the meeting, and I put my hand up straight away that I would be standard bearer. Nobody else did. So I think this lady, she was rather on the jealous side, and she wouldn't teach me. I had to learn on my own, so why can't she? You know, that, yes. And she was in the army, funny enough. But she was a very strange person.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn from other standard bearers.
Yes, and do you go to the parades?
Oh, yes. I go to all of them. I've been to Oldscourt 9 years on the trot. And this is the first time that we was recognised that they filmed us for the Oldscourt video.
Yeah, the first time the RA were recognised.
Sorry?
Who was recognised for the first time?
We were, the Royal British Legion, standard bearers.
Oh, I see.
It was the Royal British Legion Day, and we paraded every year. You got information, so you were granted to appear, and you had to be watched, searched, and all that when you went in. They searched your standard, and they searched you every year, because it's very military, yes? And then when you got in, you had to do the praise just like all the other. You know, they had the whole thing, the horses, the navy, the air force, the army, and then in marched the Royal British Legion. And the standing ovation that we got, it made our day. They cheered, they clapped, they hoorayed, and then when the standards were lowered. And you ought to have heard the applause. It was marvellous. It made everything worthwhile. He was proud to be a standard bearer of the Royal British Legion. Absolutely.
How about your war service? You know, the fact that you were in the ATS, the RA, as it were, attached to that mixed regiment.
Yes.
Has that had proper recognition, the work you did in the war, by the public? When you think of the other services, do you think the public have recognised you as perhaps they do the Wrens and the other services? Have you had recognition?
Yes, we are recognised, yeah, definitely. More so the Army than the Air Force and the Wrens, to be quite honest. I mean, even now in Southend, the Shrewsbury Barracks, they have a special day for asking for volunteers and to join the Royal Artillery, men and women, even though that there's no service. You join as a member, like you would the Legion, you see. And, the para regiment, the Air Dispatch, call me their mascot. And they're so proud of me, and I'm very proud to know that they're proud of me. And I get on extremely well with the majors. They ask me to their dues at Newbury and places like that for the weekend. They wanted me for weekends, but the journey I couldn't make because of the trains and being in a train on your own. You're not safe. So I did avoid that. But they always treated me marvellous when they came over to Belgium.
Well, May, thank you very much indeed for telling me so much about your World War II experience. It's been most interesting. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome, and it's a pleasure. Would you like a cup of tea?
Oh, I would love a cup of tea.